The Side Piece, a novel by J.M. Vella, narrated by Dr. Joe Vio. Chapter 21. Chase and Marianne rushed to the hospital as soon as Valerie left with JC in tow. They made their way past the various security checkpoints and COVID screenings until they arrived at the pediatric ward. It was a relief to know that Jack had been moved out of the emergency room. They peeked into the large window in the door and saw their little boy sound asleep, just as he had been when they left him the night before.
"I can't believe he's still asleep," Chase whispered. "Is that normal?"
"The doctor said he would be out for a while," reminded Marianne. "I think we should go in anyway. He may just be napping. He should know we're here." The two walked in the room, surprised to find someone sitting against the wall. It was the doctor, but not the same one as before. This guy was much older. He ignored Chase and Marianne as he intently watched the monitor and took notes on a chart. Chase cleared his throat to try to catch his attention.
"Excuse me, where are Jack's parents?"
The doctor glanced up, expressionless. He didn't respond for a full minute while he continued with his note-taking. At last, he tucked the pen behind his ear and made eye contact.
"Good news, Mrs. and Mr. Howard. There's been minimal seizure activity through the night. It looks to me like the worst is over."
Marianne breathed a very audible sigh of relief, but Chase had questions.
"So, what does that mean exactly? Can we take our son home?"
"Not quite yet. We need to observe him for another 24 hours to see how his brain deals with triggers once he's awake."
"What kind of triggers?" Chase asked.
"Loud sounds, emotional upset, allergic reactions, that sort of thing. It's difficult to determine what caused the seizures in the first place. Sometimes there are external factors that act as triggers."
Marianne squeezed Chase's hand.
"He's a very happy, active little boy. I don't think it's anything emotional."
"Then allergies or diet, perhaps? Or a drastic change in routine?"
"No, nothing like that," Marianne responded,
trying to maintain a calm demeanor, though she detected an accusatory tone in the question.
"He eats everything in front of him, and he sleeps hard every night. We keep our twins' bedtime very consistent."
"He has a twin. That's something we should investigate. Identical or fraternal?"
"Fraternal. A sister. They're very close. They argue, but they're always together."
The doctor grunted and wrote additional notes on Jack's chart.
"I'll want to talk to Jack's twin. Can you bring her in?"
"She's out for the day," Chase replied. "A friend of my wife took her for the day. We can text her."
"No rush," the doctor interrupted.
"I try not to leave any stone unturned. By the way, I neglected to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Jeff Wright, Chief of Pediatrics Neurology. I apologize for my lack of bedside manner. I need to work on that, or so I've been told."
Chase grinned and put out his hand.
"I appreciate a doctor who covers all the bases, especially where my son's health is concerned. I'm Chase Howard, and this is Jack's mother, Marianne."
Dr. Wright nodded, but refused to return the handshake.
"COVID practices, you understand."
"Of course, Wright.
Here's what you should expect. Jack will be groggy and probably complain of headaches. That's the aftermath of the seizure. We will put him on anti-seizure medication just as a precaution for the next month, as we continue to monitor his brain activity. You will need to keep him away from pools and make sure that he is never left alone for prolonged periods of time. Once school starts back up, he may experience some cognitive deficiencies and loss of mental clarity. Dr. Wright paused, noticing the concerned look on Chase's face. We need to be very cautious at this time. It doesn't mean that Jack will be on therapeutics for the rest of his life, you understand, but we need to ensure that he doesn't experience another seizure of this magnitude again, if we can prevent it. Marianne spoke up this time.
We'll do whatever it takes, Dr. Wright.
You're welcome to come and go as much as you please. Within visiting hours, of course. Otherwise, you can expect to take Jack home tomorrow in the late afternoon. In the meantime, the one thing your son will need is bed rest. Avoid anything that will upset or overexcite him. Chase turned to Marianne. I should check in at the office. Are you okay to stay with him until he wakes up?
Sure, I'll stay. You go ahead.
Marianne sat at the edge of Jack's bed and stroked his hair.
I want him to wake up and see his mommy right beside him.
Chase bent over the bed and gave his son a kiss on the forehead, then leaned over to kiss Marianne on the cheek. I'll text you. Chase hurried into Howard and Associates, looking a bit less polished and confident than usual.
What gives, Chase? Asked Chris. You didn't show up for the morning meeting. Everything okay?
Chase removed his sport coat and flung it over his shoulder as he walked down the hall to his office, with Chris following close behind him.
That's my son. Jack had another seizure. I just left the hospital.
Jesus, is he all right? Maybe you should go be with your family.
Chase shook his head.
No,
Marianne's with him, and the doctor said they needed to keep him there for another day for observation.
There's no point in sitting around the hospital wringing my hands. He's got his mother.
He sat down in his black leather executive chair and motioned for Chris to sit.
So, fill me in.
Nothing much new to share, really. Maybe check your messages.
Chase picked up his phone and dialed the code and hashtag to listen to his voicemail. He looked up at Chris.
Okay, pal. I trust you to manage things while I deal with all this. Thanks, buddy.
No worries, Chris replied with a concerned look. We've got you covered, Chase. You don't need to be here.
Chase gestured with his hand, dusting away his top agent's concerns.
I won't stay long.
With that, Chris shrugged his shoulders and walked out. Chase listened to his first, second, and third voicemail. Each one grew increasingly more incoherent and hostile. All three messages were from Shonda. The third voicemail made the hairs on the back of his neck stand up.
Hi, Chase. I know you're ignoring my calls, so I left a message on your home phone. Maybe your little wifey will pick it up. I'd love for her to call me back. We have a lot to discuss.
He slammed down the receiver and looked around in a panic, but he was alone in his office. He grabbed his sport coat and hurried out of his executive office toward the door. Chris looked up from his cubicle.
Everything okay, Chief?
You're right, Chris. I need to be with my family.
Take as much time as you need. We've got it handled.
Chase nodded as he rushed out the door and jumped into his BMW. He didn't think Marianne would be home anytime soon, but that didn't keep him away from the feeling of dread that consumed him. He needed to get home and erase that voicemail as soon as possible. He left the BMW in the driveway, not bothering to pull into the garage,
and took the wide entry steps two at a time, then impatiently worked his house key into the stubborn lock. As Chase walked through the spacious foyer of his home, he heard JC's voice coming from the kitchen.
"Okay, I'll tell her to call you back."
JC hung up the phone and looked worried as she noticed a weird, desperate expression on her father's face as he rushed toward her.
"Daddy, are you mad at me? I'm sorry I picked up the phone. Olga told me to get it. I took a message and everything."
"No, JC, I'm not angry. I'm just tired. Who was that on the phone, sweetie?"
"A lady who wants to talk to Mommy."
"Did she leave her name?"
"I wrote it down. She spelled it for me, see?"
JC showed him the scrap of paper that had the name Shonda written in it in JC's careful manuscript, followed by an all-too-familiar cell number.
"I'll take that. I'll make sure Mommy calls her back, okay?"
He snatched the note out of JC's hand and folded it into a small rectangle before shoving it deep into his sport coat pocket.
"I'll give it to Mommy later."
JC looked at him suspiciously.
"Are you okay, Daddy? Is Jack okay?"
Chase took a deep breath.
"The doctor says Jack is going to be just fine." He forced a smile. "Hey, how was your trip to the mall?"
JC brightened.
"It was so much fun, Auntie Val. Took me to Nordstrom Cafe, and I ate tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. And then we went to Claire's, and I got these."
She pointed to her ears that had shiny purple crystal stud earrings embedded in her pink swollen earlobes.
"It hurt a little bit, but I didn't even cry," she declared proudly. "Then we got makeovers. But Olga made me take off the makeup before Mommy gets home."
Chase felt his heart rate soar.
"Is Mommy on her way home now?"
"Yes. She texted Auntie Val and told her to take me home. We beat her home. Auntie Val's car goes really, really fast."
She paused guiltily, remembering her promise to Valerie.
"Well, I'm glad you had fun. Why don't you go play in your room for a little while? I need to check on a few things before Mommy comes home."
"Okay, Daddy."
JC ran upstairs as Chase picked up the phone to check the messages. He listened to the long voicemail from Shonda. It made him shudder with rage. If Marianne had heard it, their marriage would be over. He quickly deleted the voicemail, then sat down at the kitchen table to wait for his wife to get home and to think about what to do about his volatile ex-mistress.